Today on Seculo, it's election day in America.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, it's election day, and I want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110. There's a couple of reasons why. Even someone in our office this morning who hasn't moved since the last election, voted the same location, got their, you know, figured out where they were supposed to go, went there, their name wasn't on the list. So what did they do? They went through the process, they cast their provisional ballot, and I want to encourage you to do the same. So don't feel like if for some reason you run into any kind of issue like that, again, just be nice, go through the process, cast that provisional ballot. If you are having a trouble, though, where they are saying, you know, we can't do that, or you somehow don't have the ability to do that, that's when I want you to contact us right away at aclj.org/election hotline. We are monitoring that, again, throughout the voting hours today. So, again, if you have an issue that you can't resolve at your polling place, please contact us at aclj.org/election hotline. But I also want to hear from people who have voted today. And I'd love, especially those we'll prioritize who are in battleground states or even states, I mean, like Montana has a very close Senate race. So again, many of us may live in states that aren't presidential battlegrounds, but still have very important races. Ohio has a big Senate race, even though it's not considered very likely to go to Donald Trump. You've got these major states. Ted Cruz's race in Texas has been tight, though the latest polling better there. But of course, we have to have people vote today. And this is kind of, even by, if you're listening to us live, so this is just afternoon Eastern time. Right now, as you heard me say yesterday, and even as of this moment right now with the people who voted in the morning, I mean, and remember, states close at different times. I just saw Arkansas close 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Some will start extending times. If they've had, there were a couple of issues in Pennsylvania and Republican counties with the voting being delayed at first. So they'll probably give it an extension because of the line backup, and they had to shut down. So again, some of that is normal, but I do want to hear from people who went through the process and cast their vote. What was it with the turnout like? And if you vote in the same place, was the turnout similar, bigger, same kind of people you usually see, different? Anything you want to talk about in that way that you pick up, it's just interesting to see, because the early vote was so big, how many people are still out there with the same day vote? And of course, you know, you can look at big cities, they're showing that. That's always...
Yeah, the most said, what, almost 80 million people have already voted.
That's about 81 million.
81 million.
50% if you base it off most recent couple of last elections. That would be 50% of the vote.
As you said, it's a little confusing, but confusing even for the networks. We saw this morning as we prepped the show, we have Fox, CNN, MSNBC, all the networks up in our studio, and they had different times for when the first poll closed. So one had a click, you know, counting down, it was like 6.5 hours, and one had 7.5 hours.
Well, and the reason for that is because, you know, the elections are run by states, and so what Fox had was actually when the first polls close, which in Kentucky and Indiana, because they're split time zone, they half their state, it's not uniform, half their state closes an hour early, but they don't start reporting until the second half of their state closes. So Fox is technically correct. But the other network that had an hour later is when you will start to get the first results, because a full state has closed. But once again, that's the
confusion of election day that happens right now. So make sure, if you haven't already done it, which I'm sure most of you who are listening have already voted, but if you have not, make sure you are paying very close attention to the rules and regulations for today and give yourself enough time. As he said, one of our members of our team here went, could not vote this morning, took over an hour just because of an issue that they had, again, not being on the roll. So it's going to happen. It happens, I'm sure, every time they do these kind of elections, so give yourself the time. Phone lines are open, as Jordan said, at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We obviously encourage you not only to support the work of the ACLJ, but pray for our country tonight. It is going to be a very intense time either way. But the ACLJ will be there. So go to aclj.org to support the work. And of course, we'll be with you as well. And we'll be continuing our coverage. If you have any issues, as Jordan said, go to that website, aclj.org/protect the vote. We'll be right back.
also know some big endorsements came through yesterday for Donald Trump, and we're going to talk about the significance of those. Joe Rogan, of course, with the biggest podcast in America. I think hundreds of millions of listeners, right, Logan?
Yeah, I think about 11 million a day listen or more to Joe Rogan.
And, you know, when Trump was on.
Yeah. It surpassed 45 million just on YouTube.
So Elon Musk was on, I guess, yesterday. They dropped it pretty early. So Joe Rogan's been dropping a lot of shows this week. And they dropped it, and Joe Rogan made an announcement as well that went with it that he endorsed Donald Trump. But let's take a listen to a piece of that.
They're doing all the things that they accused Trump of doing.
Yeah. Openly.
Openly.
Yeah.
I mean, the sheer number of hoaxes that the Democratic Party is pushing over and over again, and it's like, look, I understand, like, politicians are going to, you know, exaggerate. They're going to misspeak. And they'll tell occasional, you know, untruths, whatever. That's how it is in politics. But when you have deliberate, concerted, repeated pushing of hoaxes, you're like, wait a second, like, come on, man, this is too far.
And you're supposed to be the good guys.
You're supposed to, and you claim to be the good guys? I'm like, exactly.
You're supposed to be the progressives.
Yes, the Dems are like, oh, we're the good guys, we're the honest people. No, hang on. You can't claim to be the good guys, you can't claim to be the honest people if you're deliberately pushing hoaxes that have been debunked thoroughly.
Yeah.
Well, like even Snopes, which is a liberal thing, says it's bogus.
Yeah.
Like the Fine People hoax. Uh-huh.
Obama just said that on stage.
Obama just said that.
All right. So again, and then Rogan ultimately endorses. Rick Rennell is joining us right now. And I want to go right to Rick. So Rick, you are in Florida tonight for the event with President Trump. Tell us, you've been traveling the country really for over the last year, but extensively the last few months and then in these last couple of weeks. What are you looking for, and what should the audience be looking for tonight? I mean, I know the message for right now is that anybody who's listening to this right now needs to go and vote if they haven't already. But past that, when the polls close, when the voting is done, where do you think people should pay attention?
Well, first of all, let me just say to the ACLJ family and to all the listeners, thank you for dealing with my travels and lack of technology over the last couple of weeks. But it's been such a ride. I'm back. Now, in Florida, I'm at Mar-a-Lago here with the president, and let's hope for a good night. I think, Jordan, what we want to watch for is some of those key counties in the blue wall state, so Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Let's look for those key counties, compare them to what happened in 2020, and I think we can make some really good assumptions out of those. I'm watching Wayne County, Michigan. That is where a lot of Arabs and Muslims live. Dearborn is part of that. And if the numbers there are indicating a close race rather than a blowout for Democrats, that spells disaster for Kamala Harris. That is a county that she needs to clean up. She needs to run up the numbers in Wayne County. And I think that we're actually going to be holding really well there, that she's not going to overrun that. Then you compare that with Macomb County, which is where Donald Trump will run up the numbers. When you combine those two, that's where the whole race is in Michigan. And so I'm going to be watching those two very closely. Obviously, later on in the night, Nevada and Arizona.
It seems to be, and we've talked to a lot of people who've been calling into the show, Rick, that this year especially, of course, there were lawsuits before, and there were issues before. There'll be lawsuits today. There'll be lawsuits tomorrow, likely. But at the same time, that the Trump campaign, the RNC, spent a considerable amount of resources to make sure that attorneys are organized, poll watchers are organized in the battleground states at key precincts, and did that tough grassroots work that maybe we hadn't been as good at. Or had been caught off guard with the last couple of cycles, or last cycle.
I think David Whatley and Laura Trump at the RNC deserve a lot of credit for what's happening. They've done a phenomenal job of getting lawyers prepared. In Michigan alone, we've sued 10 times and won 10 times. And so that just shows you how aggressive our team is. The other side is, you know, intimidating. Mark Elias put out a tweet basically saying, any Republican lawyer who works for Donald Trump on election integrity issues should be disbarred. And that's unbelievable in America that we have that type of cancel culture. But that's what we're up against. That's what we're trying to defeat. These people who literally can't have a discussion. They can't have disagreement. They don't like dissenting opinions. They want to rule us, crush us, cancel us, put us in jail just for having a differing opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think Rick, you guys have a question for Rick too?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, a lot of people last night, I was watching as sort of the final promotions from a lot of celebrities started coming in. Obviously, you see these last second endorsements. Then you had sort of the backlash of people realizing, wait a second, there's a lot of people who backed Bobby Kennedy celebrity wise, and they haven't said anything about Trump. You know, what does that mean? Does that mean Alicia Silverstone is now, you know, and they go after, again, like you said, canceling people for just having, not even, for not saying anything, for just saying, hey, I encourage you to vote. Trey Anastasio from Fish put out, I voted. And you read the comments, and it was just people going, how dare you not say who you voted for? You know what that's doing. Silence is just a supporting. Now, I have another friend who has to remain nameless who texted me and said, you know what? You remember when Harris said, the Harris campaign said, don't vote or don't tell your spouse who you're voting for? She said, well, I'm doing that, just not the way that you think she thinks that I'm doing it, because I'm voting because it was somebody who was supporting of Israel saying I'm voting for Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, this is what we're up against, this bully culture. They're bullying us. They want to make sure that there's no dissenting opinion. I mean, look no further than MSNBC. You can watch MSNBC for 2 hours straight and never hear a dissenting opinion. They all just get so emotional going after the next person and making it even more crazy and more radical. We got to return to the place where we're calm. We have differing opinions. We can be respectful. I'll tell you, I was in Detroit, and while I was there, I went to breakfast at the hotel before going out to meet with Arab and Muslim groups, and I saw Congresswoman Jayapal from Washington State, a member of the squad. And I went up to her, and I was very disarming, and I just said, hi, greetings, it's great. I'm from Michigan. We're all here fighting, and I just want to introduce myself. Welcome to Michigan. And she couldn't have been nicer, and we disagree on a lot of different issues. She asked me how it's going with the Arab and Muslims, and I kind of winced and said, I'm sorry, it's going really well. And we had a laugh. And that's what we have to get back to. We need to be able to disagree without trying to cancel and crush each other. And the left is terrible at this.
Yeah. And I think what happens too with the left is you can kind of, at the top level with the members of Congress and the people who are used to doing that every day, throwing barbs at each other, but then able to have discussions. It's people don't. That's kind of different, though, when you go and take it more personal to your neighborhood, because they're not used to that back and forth, you know, throwing things out, nasty stuff about each other, and then somehow we'll, like, getting back to, like, oh, yeah, let's just have a block party together, let's do a barbecue together, because they aren't politicians, and they aren't used to the separation that I think we probably have to start talking about more and more into the future of, yes, we can be really tough, we fight it out until the very end, And then we have to come together as Americans.
That's right. And Rick, I did have a question for you, because I know you've been a part of a lot of campaigns. You understand some of the more nuances of what happens here at the end, where there's a lot of noise out there. But for the one thing that I've been looking at is that in previous years, typically a campaign, when they're on the defense, they're only going to the swing states. It's what you see the Harris campaign. They've only been in the swing states here at the end. You see the Trump campaign doing what is typically seen as an offensive move, going to places like New Mexico, going to sending J.D. Vance to New Hampshire, places that are hopeful, but not necessarily even in the toss-up category at that point. What does that tell you, and what does it tell the listeners about really the state of where we're at? I know everyone needs to go vote, no matter where you are. Don't get comfortable. But are we seeing a little bit more offensive play from the Trump campaign as opposed to the Harris campaign?
We are. Some of that is just Donald Trump. He wants to go to Madison Square Gardens. He did a rally in Coachella, California. He did a rally in Virginia. He likes to talk to lots of different people. And he's not, one of these people that believes that you can't win New York or California, as much as a stretch as it is. He wants people to hear his message. He is one of these non-politicians that just believes that you can talk to people and sway them. I still believe that way. I think it's really important to be hopeful. And I'm hoping for a good night. But let me just reiterate, go vote. Take everyone you know and get out and vote immediately. Christians don't usually vote. Got to prove them wrong this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think this has got to be this very strong message that, listen, if you are hearing our broadcast live right now, as you heard from Rick, heard from all of us, you have time right now to go and vote. In fact, I would tell you this. I wouldn't tell you this most days. Turn the show off, figure out where your polling place is, and go and vote and get in line. And if you can't get in line right now, try to find a family member later today who can help you or assist you get there. Whatever it is, you've got time wherever you are to go and cast that vote. And if you can bring people with you, that's great too. Rick, as always, we appreciate it. I'm sure we'll get updates from you later on tonight and try to get some tomorrow or the following day as well. Folks, support the work of the ACLJ. If you need our help, aclj.org/election hotline. Donate as well. We're ready for... Folks, we will. We're getting this phone call second half hour. I want to go right to a former Secretary of State and CIA Director, a senior counsel with us here at the ACLJ, Mike Pompeo. And Secretary Pompeo, first, I know you were at the rally last night in Pittsburgh. I just want you to kind of give people a sense on the ground there, that kind of final event. I had people coming, I know, from West Virginia, from our legal team, from the ACLJ. People wanted to be at that last event, that last rally. And, of course, we've seen some late endorsements too for President Trump, but just kind of your initial takeaway as we're now, you know, around lunchtime voting on Election Day.
Yeah, Jordan, I was actually with the president both in Reading and in Pittsburgh yesterday. Two very different events. Two very different events, but both incredibly well attended, people excited, but people also at peace with what had happened, that the president run a great campaign. They were excited about the future of America. And, you know, there were prayers and Christian songs being sung. It was really quite something. And then the president, of course, as he always does, went on for quite some time talking about the things that really matter to ordinary citizens across the state of Pennsylvania, in a state that if President Trump wins, of course, he will almost certainly be president of the United States. And if our Senate candidate, Dave McCormick, can win there, the United States will probably have a Republican-controlled Senate as well. It was really an exciting day to be with what were the next, the third from the last and second from last rallies that President Trump will ever hold.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you say that too, because I think that the message that's been clear, and I think it's clear too to the supporters out there, is that this time around, and we weren't going through like the bizarre kind of COVID election this time either, that you could tell from President Trump, from the whole campaign team, that everything's been left out on the table. You know, everything was done. From the actual on-the-ground grassroots organizing that I think people have been critical of in the past, to making sure the legal teams were ready, and we've seen the lawsuits been filed and a lot of victories there on even some small things, but you've got to do that. So putting in that hard work while at the same time allowing President Trump to do what he does, which is traveling the country, again, utilizing kind of the media and the groundswell of very strong supporters. I think those two coming together, and the early vote as well, the fact that we doubled down on that like never before as Republicans and got those vote numbers up at about almost tied, it looks like, if those estimates are clear. So if people are watching today and they voted and they've, you know, later on this evening, do you think Pennsylvania is where their eyes should be? I know that sometimes that comes in late. They're even saying they may not have results until tomorrow, but you know, we got a lot of people on pins and needles, and we want to tell them, give them the best info we can.
Yeah, I think for sure Pennsylvania is the place. It's a bit center focus for both campaigns, both Harris and Trump, President Trump. But make sure Wisconsin and Michigan, Nevada, these are places that President Trump's team believes they've made real progress when you look at the early voting. And so it could be that by the time we get Pennsylvania's votes all counted, President Trump has already been declared the winner. If he wins in Wisconsin and Michigan, that would certainly be the case. And so, I'm hopeful that what I saw yesterday, that I got to be a small part of helping President Trump have a good close to his campaign. I hope what everyone saw was this: a man who is authentic, he is real, he understands the ordinary concerns of Americans across a broad economic perspective from every race, every ethnicity, every faith. And so we'll all keep our eyes on Pennsylvania. And then with a little bit of luck, this evening late, we'll know who the next president, and hopefully President Trump will have done enough to make the case to the American people that taking back this country mattered, and that the work of people like here at the ACLJ, all the work you've done, the legal work, the background work to help make sure that people understood what's at stake here in this election, will have had a material impact on the outcome of the election.
And Mr. Secretary, we have seen a massive shift in what were traditionally in lock for the Democrat Party voters, specifically the Arab American community in places like Michigan. You saw Somali leaders in Minnesota come out and endorse President Trump just this last weekend. And they're backing President Trump because they see him as someone who can bring about peace. We talk about the global issues with you many times on this broadcast, but how much do you think that matters when all the votes are counted?
You know, that's a great question, because I remember living through what was called the Muslim ban, which was, of course, nothing of the sort. And I think this is indicative. I think people, whether they're Jewish or Christian or Muslim, can see that a secure and prosperous America, a strong America, where America is put first, is a good thing for them. They cared. Well, if you're Muslim, you care about putting groceries on the table for your kids and to make sure that you can afford to enroll your kid in their gymnastics or their piano class or creative writing, whatever it is your children love. Those are the things that really matter to you. And so I think you can see whether it's the effort of the Harris campaign to obfuscate the failure they've had, which resulted in more Muslim deaths than people of any other faith in the Middle East. I think people can see that this was a set of policies that didn't work for them and their community. And so I am unsurprised, whether it's the Somalian leadership in Minnesota or Arab Americans living in Michigan, I am unsurprised that they think their life and the life of their family members that are living back home in their home nations, perhaps in the Middle East or somewhere else in the world, will be better if President Trump is elected here in the United States.
You know, Secretary Pompeo, the kind of final question, but as you're talking to people that are, they're on pins and needles, they're nervous. I think, you know, message one is any of them that still haven't voted need to go do that. We've said that about 10 times already on the show today, and that they've got time if they're listening to our broadcast live or even a few hours delayed. But the second part, of course, is when they wake up tomorrow, there is a possibility. I mean, just based off elections, we hope we will know maybe late at night. And when we say late at night, that's probably into the next day already. But that it's a chance that they'll wake up tomorrow. And we won't know yet. And people get more and more nervous and anxious. What would you tell them to do then? I think it's take a deep breath and you know, yeah. Everybody, we know that, that there's going to be huge turnout, big numbers.
Yeah, no, that's right. Look, that's a glorious thing. The fact that many Americans are taking the time to go vote, a higher number probably than ever in American history. The pre-election voting is any indication. You know, I tell folks when you wake up tomorrow morning, if we still don't know, go to work, do the things we all do. The Trump campaign, the team at the Republican National Committee, there's a lot of folks doing the work to make sure that this election is as free and fair as it could possibly be made. I think the Trump campaign did better work in preparation for that, better legal work, better preparatory work on the ground. And so I would just say go to work. America has been around for 250 years. The Lord is still on the throne on Wednesday morning. Let's make sure that we, those of us who work hard and have as our singular mission, making sure our children and our grandchildren live lives that are better than ours, do everything we can today and make sure we vote, and then allow these votes to be counted and watch the process unfold. After the polls close today, there's not much that most of us can do, but pray that this nation gets headed in a direction that delivers better outcomes than we've seen these last 3.5, almost now 4 years.
Secretary Pompeo, as always, we appreciate you taking that time and the insight, and for, again, just providing that update too from yesterday. I know, and there's important Senate races. We can't get to all of them yet, but Pennsylvania, of course, in Ohio, there's races that really will determine the makeup of the U.S. Senate. If there's a President Trump victory, it'd be nice to have a strong Republican Senate. But we appreciate everything you're doing for us and for the country. Folks, remember, as Secretary Pompeo said, for most folks, you know, when Election Day comes to a close and the votes start getting counted, there's not much they can do. But at the ACLJ, on our legal side, there is. So if you believe that there, and we've been involved in them before, real legal issues, whether that's going on today as you're voting or even post-voting, and we saw that last election, there were legitimate issues. Make sure you contact us at aclj.org. /election hotline and support our work so we have the resources to...
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
You're already getting closing poll times. So even in the earliest states in the country, it's 6 hours. So for anybody listening, again, unless you are, depending on how delayed you're maybe listening, you would have the ability to go vote now. And that's the biggest message we have for you today. The second is that if you just heard from Secretary Pompeo, you know, he said something that was really important. And that is that for most folks, and listen, this should give you some peace this evening. If you've gone and voted and you've talked to friends and family and done what you can, you know, when the polls close, you have to be at peace that you did what you can as, again, you've got jobs, you've got kids, you've got life, and you should pat yourself on the back for going that extra step of not just voting. But I know that all of you are going that extra step or many steps, and you have been for over the last year or even longer in fighting this battle. But the groups like ACLJ, there are opportunities for us sometimes after the voting has closed to be involved. And we had issues out of Pennsylvania the last time that we took all the way to the Supreme Court and won based off ballots that shouldn't have been counted. There was a lot of those issues, of course, in the last cycle because of the mail-out ballots that many states mailed out to everyone, and there was a lot of confusion about those. I don't know if that's the case this time, but what I do want to be is ready here at the ACLJ. Because of your financial support, we were ready for any pre-election issues, and we handled them. I've walked through just some of them that we could publicly yesterday on the show. Today, we are monitoring that election hotline at aclj.org/election hotline 24/7 while people are voting. Again, and probably until a little bit after polls have closed. So go there. If you don't know where to go for assistance, you can go there, and we can help you get to the right place or handle it from our team. And then we have to be ready for what happens if things don't go as smoothly tomorrow. And I'm assuming and hoping and praying as a person, Jordan, that everything goes smoothly. We wake up and know who the president is before I'm eating lunch or this show tomorrow. But as the lawyer side of Jordan, I have to prepare for the worst case scenarios. The worst case scenarios are ballot, you know, people still voting at 10 o'clock at night in major cities because they say that, you know, the lines lines were shut down. Things like that, that we have to be involved in. So I want to make sure we have the resources to fight it out the rest of this week, just on this issue. And if you donate today at aclj.org, your gift will still be doubled, and we will have the resources necessary to fight if we have to.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a lot of calls coming in. Warren is calling online, too. He actually had a moment about some unusually long lines. So, Warren, you're on the air.
Yep.
Thanks for taking my call, guys, and everybody vote yes. In Idaho, we usually don't have long lines, but we had exceptionally long this morning. But we're also fighting a ballot initiative backed by Soros to change our voting laws in Idaho to, like, Alaska and destroy our way of voting. So that is contentious here.
So you think that there, do you think more people than Warren came out even on that issue than they did, that they would have if it was just a presidential election?
Absolutely. Because that one is going everywhere, and there's everywhere you drive, there's posters, yes, and all you see on the news is the Democrat liberal side. You don't see anything of why we need to vote against it.
And in Idaho, what Warren's talking about for the listeners, this is, it would change their primaries to both open primaries and ranked choice in those open primaries, which that's the Alaska part, is that ranked choice. You've seen it where I believe Maine also does it in some of their elections, where you essentially, you pick your favorite, then your next favorite, and your other favorite, and then they come up with a tally of who wins based off of your ranked choice. And as Warren's talking about, Idaho, not normally a place you hear about having long lines on election day for president, but also all those states, if they have big turnout, and Idaho, traditionally red state, you could end up seeing things like the popular vote be in contention when you have that happening all around the country.
That's right. We're taking calls also coming up in the next few segments. We'd love to keep the phone lines packed. 1-800-684-3110. Did you vote? What was your thoughts? Was it a good turnout? Bad turnout? We want to get your thoughts. We got a bunch of people on hold. If you're on hold already, we will get to you. So just stay on hold. We'll get to those in the next segment. Again, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
Some of the Joe Rogan issues that Rick had to be on earlier, of course, and then we had Mike Pompeo on, and this is the short segment. So for those of you listening, I think you've heard the name a ton. Obviously, you've seen it in the media the last night and definitely this morning. Joe Rogan is the biggest podcaster in America. He has a huge audience.
By a lot.
By like leaps and bounds.
Yes.
They are long shows, typically 3+ hour shows, yeah. 2.5 to 3 every day. I mean, there's new yesterday, I think it was a Fetterman episode had just gone up, or maybe the day before.
Then
J.D. Vance was on. Trump was on. He wanted to have Harris, and they were supposed to do it, and they wouldn't come to the studio, and then they wanted to limit it to 1 hour, which is not what he does with his guests. And so ultimately, they could not come to an agreement on that, even though Joe Rogan in the past has had people on like Bernie this year, Bernie Sanders, and has endorsed people on the left, has considered himself a Democrat, but had Elon Musk on, and during their conversation, Elon Musk basically laid out his reasons, personally, for why he thought it was important that President Trump win this election. And he went through a number of reasons, the free speech, which Rogan cares about a lot, being very top of the list. And also the idea, again, that if the left keeps moving the way it does, is that you are going to have more and more limits on what freedom really means. And we've been talking about that since their convention, when they started redefining, and I remember talking about with Secretary Pompeo, what the term freedom meant, which freedom started meaning if you do what the government likes, if you're on the side of the government, then you will be free to express your support and praise. But if you were not, you know, the FBI shows up at your door. I think that, again, the impact of it, people will say, well, couldn't he have done this 3 months ago? Well, no, he was trying to get interviews set, and he wanted to have Harris. And you have to do that if you're going to give 3 hours to Trump and 3 hours to J.D. Vance. You have to make those same offers and fight for it until the end, which is, I think he probably was. But then when it was known, you know, that was not going to happen, he made it clear through X that what he heard on the podcast from Elon Musk had convinced him to support and vote for Donald Trump. He said, if you're asking if this is an endorsement, he said it is. Logan, just to explain to the people out there who may not understand the reach.
Sure.
The importance of what that could be.
Yeah, I mean, for Joe Rogan's audience, you're talking about, on the daily normal listenership, well over 11 million people listen every day. And then you have situations like the Donald Trump episode, which just the YouTube stream, which, by the way, was kind of throttled, has 45 million plays right now. Understand, compare that to the numbers of cable news, and you're talking about quadruple or more the biggest shows. So this is not a small deal. People like to limit podcasts, but this is the year of the podcast. We saw how important they are. I definitely saw Donald Trump making more, and even Harris making more trips specifically to do podcasts than ever before, because they know they're reaching an audience, which actually skews a little older, not older in the sense of like 55 plus, but could actually skew to a 25 to 40 year old demographic, opposed to spending your time wasting it on kids or spending your time doing traditional media, which skews much older.
And kind of talking to the choir.
Mm-hmm.
If you're her and you're going on MSNBC, you're speaking to the choir. And if you're Republicans on Fox News, you're kind of speaking to the choir as well.
I mean, if you think about this, 45 million people have watched that episode of Joe Rogan with President Trump. 80 million have voted. Over half the amount of people that watched that have or will vote, likely, or maybe already have. That's a pretty crazy number to think about.
Well, and also, Jordan, you know, this year we've talked a lot about the endorsements from newspapers with the decisions by the LA Times and then the Washington Post deciding not to endorse, and seeing the liberal media freak out about how dare they be derelict in their duty to, you know, try to stop Donald Trump. But a lot of people are asking online, you know, why did he wait so late? I think that there's probably a lot of factors. One being that he was trying to still offer Harris the opportunity to come and be on his show. And if he had said, I endorse Donald Trump, that probably would not have happened. No. It didn't happen anyways. But I think this is a different kind of endorsement also at this point, too. I feel like in the Midwest, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, large listenership for Joe Rogan in that state among male voters. And I say the term male voters because a lot of them may not be voters. Right. And instead of it being a change their mind kind of endorsement, like, oh, Joe Rogan's voting for Donald Trump, I may not like Harris anymore. I feel like many of his listenership is probably more inclined to vote for a Donald Trump J.D. Vance ticket if they vote. Him doing it the night before the election, I think could be something that gets people to get up and say, you know what, Joe Rogan voted for Donald Trump. I'm going to actually go to the polls today and do it. I think I want to do this. Yeah. I think that's where it could be a difference maker when it comes from a media personality endorsement, when I think the whole argument over the newspapers, no one cares anymore about that. This is the media that really does make a difference.
Right. And I think when you look at people like an RFK or Tulsi Gabbard, who are Tulsi frequent guest on obviously our show, but a frequent guest on the Joe Rogan Experience, that is more where that audience leans. And you actually had RFK come out yesterday and say, do not vote for me. You know, I know that a lot of people will be tempted and we'll see it on the ballot and we'll go, okay, I'm still going to vote. He's telling people not to vote for him. And that's where even the backlash has started to occur to people who supported him early and haven't, I guess, withdrawn their endorsement of him because they're saying, well, they endorsed and so therefore people are going to vote for Trump. That audience, and I think he kind of half endorsed RFK earlier on. He didn't officially, but there was that whole discussion and they kind of got in a fight with Trump. But now we've seen that progression move. And I think, you know, someone put in the comments, and a lot of people have used that term, because it feels like that real life Avengers moment when you've put together Tulsi and Elon and RFK and then sort of more of the traditional conservatives who are Mike Pompeo's or whoever who could all come together. Now Rogan.
And now on Ron Paul coming out there.
Yeah, Ron
responding
Paul.
So the libertarian crowd also that may have said, my vote doesn't matter, I'm not going to go vote. You saw the New Hampshire Libertarian Party last night endorse Donald Trump, and you see Ron Paul putting out a whole video about how Elon reached out on Twitter, they responded, and you know what? We could really make a difference. That's a crowd that has felt very disenfranchised in the election system that may now have a reason to actually go vote today when they didn't have one last week.
You know, I think what is also important for everybody listening right now, too, is that when people kind of were, when we brought Tulsi Gabbard on, we got a lot of questions of the thing, which is, I like her. Do we trust where she is? Yeah. And again, I think if they had watched from when she started with us on the air to where she has gone now, you can actually thank her for a lot. If this tips the needle, which it Absolutely. Will tip the needle, regardless way, win or lose, this is getting voters out for Donald Trump. The question is, does it get enough voters out of people who were likely probably not going to vote for him? They were not likely going to vote the other way, but they probably just weren't going to vote. So, I mean, that can tip you over the line places that you can't even imagine. We can't even come up with at this moment. But you can certainly start thinking and then looking back. And if it starts, I think, with her saying, I'm comfortable joining sides like with ACLJ. I'm comfortable with being on stage with Donald Trump. Let me talk to RFK. You know, RFK then makes that decision, bring him on. Then you start bringing on Elon Musk. I mean, a lot of this starts with Tulsi.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think she's Tulsi, major influence.
And it started 2 years ago when she finally came out and you know, said, this is not, this party is, I don't think is right. She wrote the book on why she left and kind of let people in on her entire thought process. And a lot of those issues to her that were key. Free speech, the idea that we, as someone who was in the military, that we don't just go to wars, that we can't explain to people, we don't send people off just to get to make you know, military hardware companies and contractors rich, that we do what's best, and we still want to be a power in the world. But we talk all the time with Mike Pompeo and Rick Grenell about how this diplomacy with a strong military behind it can prevent a lot of major conflicts. And the world is right on the edge of, there's one going on in Europe already. I mean, there's still war in Europe. And, of course, the Middle East, which you see the impact and what Rick Grenell said, too, about the Arab-American vote, watching Dearborn, Michigan, that if that's even close, you know, I mean, those are places that Democrats need to win 30 and 40 points by. If they are even close, it is very bad news, even if you don't have the final numbers yet. So we're trying to give you some markers to look for tonight so that you don't have to go to bed with nothing. Because I think that is, again, it's going to be tough for people. I mean, I think what will happen today is you might be a little exhausted right now by it. I get that. I think a lot of people are, and the country probably is as a whole. And then, you know, you take a little break, you get kind of back into your normal swing, and then you'll sit down and you're going to get hyped up again.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just heard a train pass. Our studio rumbles when the train passes behind our studio. You can't hear it, but it did kind of remind me of, oh yeah, this may be very all-encompassing for us right now, but there are people out there doing those jobs who that is not what they're spending their time today worrying about. So we need to make sure we keep all those people on our minds as well. Still take your kids to their sports, to, you know, whatever sort of activities they have, because it may be a long night, as you said. It may not even be a night. And I think probably if you were going to bet, you probably were betting it will not just be a night. Yeah, but we do have a couple lines.
People that say a night, you're talking about 2 in the morning.
Yeah, we have a couple lines open, though. 1-800-684-3110. We'll get to all the calls coming up in the next segment. Robert, Bobby, Ronald, stay on hold. We'll do our best to get to everyone who is calling in. So again, 2 more lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. Continue to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
If it just shifted back. Do we have a time?
I don't know. I feel like there's a time machine there that just happened. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. Just keep us on our toes for tonight. Let's go ahead and start off with some phone calls because a lot of you have called in.
My heart just is kind of like, what is
yeah, that? What happened? Yeah, it feels uncomfortable. Ronald's calling in South Carolina. Watching on Rumble. You've been on hold for 45 minutes. We appreciate it. Ronald, you're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Yes, it rained a little down here when I went to the polls. I've already early voted, but I was taking my daughter to vote for the first time.
Cool.
And yes, turnout was light, and I only assumed that because many took advantage of the early voting.
Yeah, I mean, what part of South Carolina, if you're comfortable saying, Ronald, what part of South Carolina are you in?
Charleston, Dorchester.
Okay. Okay. Area. So yeah, so a major population area of South Carolina. I think there's two things at play. I think that there were a lot of people that took advantage of early voting than they definitely did last time, and we will really have to figure out once the polls close. Were there so many Republicans that took advantage of it that our election day voters, which that's where we usually win. And where Democrats have to kind of catch us a little bit, but not as much because usually they've got more votes in the bag, did so many more of our voters vote that we also don't have as many people outstanding. But if you're adding someone like you did by taking someone to go and vote for their first time against your daughter, I think, again, timing matters. A lot of times we see an election day, it's very, very early in the morning it's busy because of people have got to be at work at either at 8 or 9 in the morning. And then there is a lull because most people are at work or school. Yeah. And so they don't have the day off. And so after about 8:30, it does kind of taper off. And then when you get closer to lunch times, it goes back to another hour, hour and a half. And people try to use that if they can. And then there's the big rush that begins sometime around when kids get out of school. So mid to late afternoon. And then another rush around 6 p.m., which is kind of the final big rush of the day.
You know, Jordan, I just heard from some family members who voted day of today, and one is in Florida in a major metropolitan area, and one is in Texas in a major metropolitan area. One in Florida went around 7:30 this morning when polls open. It was about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then in Texas, which has a big Senate race that people are showing up for, took about 20 minutes around midday.
Yep.
So what we're looking at here is what you're talking about, the potential that there is so many votes that you're not seeing the long lines. However, I think if they're able to get more people through and it's a consistent stream of people throughout
right.
the day with newer voters, too, you know, there's the unspoken thing of people that show up to the poll, see a long line and think, my vote doesn't really matter anyways,
right,
so I'm going home.
What my one vote's not going to, it's canceled out
the
by somebody.
The fact that there's not these long lines, I think, could show us another big turnout today of people that may have just walked away. And so I think it probably will be one of the most people voted elections of history.
Yeah, don't pull the Larry David think, well, okay, that person, you're a Democrat, I'm voting Republican. So if we both agree that we'll both leave right now, and you better leave, we'll get coffee or something.
It won't matter.
It won't matter. We've canceled each other out. Don't pull that. And that doesn't work. What you've got to do when you pull up there is think, you know what? Again, you don't know how people are even quieter than ever before at most polling places. I also think,
unless you're a first-time voter here, and then it becomes like the Rainforest Cafe in our polling place. They start ringing bells. There's a volcano. They start coming out. They do a whole thing. They get big stickers. Let's go. Let's take some more calls because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Let's go to Robert in Indiana. You've been holding for a long time. Robert, you're on.
Don't wait. Too late is left behind. November 5th is here. You got to make up your mind. Go vote for you and yours and me and mine. One vote, one count, one time. I'm Robert Thomas. Go vote.
All right, Robert.
Man, Robert Thomas.
In Indiana.
Of all time. He could have done a Secular Brothers theme.
I
next
love
to
that.
And you know what? I think that we're seeing.
Save that for later. I just want to prove that happened, that we took a call and he just rapped. Robert, thank you. That was
not only did he just rap, but then he said goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he should have given us his Instagram handle. We could have followed him.
The thing is, though, what we're also seeing is many states did invest in more voting machines.
Yes.
And realized that a process, I'm not being nasty here, but too many polling places were run by volunteers that were big centers. And it's all tech, and a lot of those volunteers are older, retired, and they'd have these big tech issues in front of them, and they have to call somebody and wait for them to come from like a major city, which could sometimes take hours to fix a machine, even if all the machines. I mean, I remember walking in a couple years ago, it was early voting, but they had two machines. It took 45 minutes to just vote in a primary. That I think has changed in a lot of places. Yeah. So maybe like what you're saying too, Logan, this constant stream is what we actually want voting to be like in our country,
nice.
Which means, you might get a backup.
Didn't go already. I mean, come on, they got busy lives.
You have voters. You might get a backup.
Yeah.
If you are also if you live in a big suburban area where people are going to be kind of on that 9-to-5 schedule with their kids, I think the time that kids are out of school, there's a lot of moms and dads who are doing. Might say maybe I could do it then. And then there's the people when you're off work. And what I have to remind people, too, is you can take your kids with you. It's not always the most fun thing when it's a longer line, but it can be a learning experience. And you know what? It's worth it. I don't care if they're crying.
Hand them an iPad.
It's worth it.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead.
Hand them your phone. See what they said.
Yeah, let's go to Bobby in New York, line 6.
Niagara Falls on the American side. Listen, I like what Mike Pompeo said. The Lord is still on the throne. That's great. But what my buddy told me was that a lot of white women are very liberal, and he thinks that Trump and the Republicans are going to be having trouble getting the white woman vote. And that's all I got today. Yeah, thanks very much.
That is certainly a big push by the Democrats has been, it hasn't even been as specific as white women. It's just been in general, women are going to be voting secretly for Kamala Harris. I think, and they're not going to tell anybody that because they live in a lot of suburban areas where their husbands are very pro-Trump. When I actually, in my community that I'm in, which is just a suburban area that has a kind of a mix of Republican and Democrat voters, that some of the strongest Republican voters are the women. They're the most outspoken to each other about it. They have embraced it. They like where he is on a lot of the issues, and it's not so. I think it's like what Megyn Kelly said: the top issue for them is not just 9 months. What happens in the womb? I think she said it like that.
Yeah.
So abortion. It's not always the top issue for every single woman. I think that we're putting people way too much in a box. That means, though, that by the way, I think you could see Republicans win, and some of these pro-abortion amendments also win, and I think that's where you can look at different votes. I think when it comes to being president, they're thinking about what's best for me and my family. And that changes as you go up in age. It also changes on where you live. I mean, New York versus the Southeast.
All right, we only got 1 minute left. Sorry to the other calls that called in. We're just not going to be able to get to you today. Thank you all for your support and we've been counting the day down for, I feel like, multiple years now. We are finally here. As Jordan said, take a breath. Pray.
This one. Hey, Susan in California, if you're listening, if you have your mail-in ballot, if you bring it to the polling place, you can go vote. So bring it with you. And they'll take that from you. And that's the best option for you to do now. So I think take it with you. Go to your polling place, especially if you still have it, you know, and it's still in its envelope and hasn't been unwrapped or anything. That's the way to go. If you have more questions, go to aclj.org/election hotline, and we can help you out. I just saw that one pop up, and I think we can answer for you. Support our work so we've got the resources to fight tomorrow. If that's necessary, we want to be ready to go. Donate today. Your gift is doubled at aclj.org. We need those resources to fight. Remember what happened last time? We have to be prepared.